page 51, talking about what a human being is, what's an Adam, to understand what an Adam in Yisrael is, which we're going to go into, what's an Adam, as opposed to a Baal Chai. We're learning how we have to be careful not to make superficial comparisons. And by the time we came to this point in the Maimer, the Maila of human being is not that a human being is able to think, or is able to move, or is able to grow. There are many things that animals on their Madrega, obviously, it's different, but on their Madrega, have. The chilik is that an Adam, and we'll see specifically, more specifically what it means by a Jew, but an Adam is able to think beyond the moment he's in, and beyond the person who he is. The example that we had last week, unfortunately this past week, because of things that are happening, I just gave a marshal. Mm-hmm. He was giving a marshal in the safe of a tsunami, and then you have so many thousands of people in Abachna, what they're going through in Japan, the whole mice. So there's that one survivor who's sitting there. The animals ran away, the animals came back, and they continue where they left off. They just continue eating, and everything's the same as it was. But that human being will never, ever be the same. The human being will never be the same. And the human being is not only the same because of remembering what he's lost, but wondering, asking, how could this be? Why is this? Also, is there anything that could be done to help people in the future to prevent such a thing from happening or so? So on page 51, Misibazu, the middle of the page, Ayth Gimel. Misibazu Nasa Adam Al Bechir. Therefore, human being and only human being is a Baal Bechir. He makes choices. L'shanay says Nahagusay Mikfi Tivay. That a human being can overcome his teva. His nature draws him a certain way, and he could fight against that nature. An animal, of course, does not do that. An animal lives and can only live by following its nature. If the animal goes against its nature, it's not possible. If the animal would go against its nature, it would be doomed. It would die. And it would lead to the extinction of the entire species of that animal if it wouldn't function according to its teva. But the human being, it's not like that at all. The existence of a human being often depends, I'd say most often, but often depends on making choices against his nature, to overcome his natural instincts. That's very human. That's distinctly human. An animal doesn't have choice. And they're imprisoned throughout their lives. It doesn't bother them. They're imprisoned throughout their lives in the exact tfus, that mint, that printing of their existence that took place when they came into the world. That's how they're made. It remains in that teva, and it remains subjected to all of the rules and regulations that dictate the existence of that particular species of an animal. Only a human being is capable of seeing the other, of thinking about the other. And a human being can take note of another person and can see certain beautiful traits in a person, something that's worth emulating. I want to be more like that person. You don't have that if a giraffe looks at another giraffe and says, of course, I'm a giraffe, I could be like that. A human being looks at another human being and sees in that person such beautiful things, such beautiful midas, such mildness. I was at a beautiful Levaya today. You know, it's a funny thing to say, Levaya is beautiful, but she was 95 years old. The whole hesped, each of them must be one thing, simchas achaim, A woman, her whole life is simchas l'chaim. So a person can go to and listen to a hesped and to hear the stories and say, wow, I ought to try that. That's a good thing. I can see if I could try more of that. And that's a very human thing to make that choice. He's able to see that outside of himself, there are better things out there than himself. There are nicer midas, and there are people that are doing very beautiful things, and he can make that choice. Ad kibo lehirhor she'efsha muta shishane hergelim tevusa, till it brings him to think. He thinks about this so much, to the point that he comes to the conclusion, you know, I'm going to try to break my own nature and to be more like that person. I want to adopt the nature of that person. I want to incorporate his midas in my behavior because it's beautiful, and I want to be like that because I admire that person. And a person can overcome his teva. Can overcome his teva. A person who, God forbid, has an addiction, whatever that is. A person who, even if it's not anything that he's addicted to from the outside, like smoking or drinking or stuff like that, but an addiction to anger, an addiction to laziness, a person can overcome that. Can overcome that. Can make that choice. Menasa les damais lesoivevlai. He can attempt to be similar to those who he sees in his surroundings, in his environment. Oilus rahik min abilti tayv, shebisivaso, hapchusa, hapsucha lefan of tamid. Or just the opposite. We can look at something and see that that's terrible. And I want to stay far away from such a way of thinking, a way of acting and talking, and make that choice. On the other hand, ha'aryeh, a lion, the lion is satisfied. All that it has is its strength and its sharp teeth. With these teeth and with its strength, it can rip apart, it can tear apart a goat. That falls into his grip, into his trap. The lion doesn't make a cheshbon that, I'm going to spend my whole life chasing after animals like this. And it doesn't make a cheshbon. It doesn't look and think about anything outside of himself. Just to himself and his mouth, his appetite. The whole world is just to serve him. And in his eyes, in the lion's eyes, he's the only mitzias in the world. The fact that the lion will take care of its little ones is only because that's how the lion sees taking care of himself. And we know that there are animals that are unbelievably cruel to their own once it's no longer nageya, the sugya of being a father or a mother. Then the animals will even, there are animals that eat their own children. And when it comes down to an emergency, The last animal that the kid wants to hang out with is his mom and dad. That's, we see that in the Tav of the Bria. As long as the father or the mother have a toelis for themselves, and that's in the Teva, which is amazing, Hashem made that, in the Teva of every animal, to do that, to take care of its young. As long as that's a toelis, so then the animal does that, that's its Teva. But once it's no longer its a toelis, and the animal will have to go against its teva, there's nothing to talk about. It's finished. Done. And many, many studies have been made to try to show that this is not true, but it's true. That's just how the world is. It's interesting that you have scientists that are spending their whole lives trying to show that animals can change. And there are other scientists that spend their whole lives trying to show that human beings can change. If it would just be the opposite, if people would be worried about telling human beings they could change and to tell the animal, listen, buddy, no, this is it for you. You're stuck. But instead, they tell human beings, no, no, this is, you were born this way. This is how you were born. And you're always going to be that way. And they try to prove that that's how you're going to be your whole life. And the animals, they make all kinds of things, tests. That they're, and they sit around like themselves, like monkeys, waiting for the monkey to show some sort of original, you know, that something different. That it's a balbuchir. It's a balbuchir. It has instincts that were coded in. Kate said, Yivcha Efai, his Nagus Acheris Shiner. Nothing exists outside the line. It's only itself, and it's taking care of its needs. Therefore, it doesn't have the choice to be anything else, because there is nothing else. You can only make choices if there's something else. But to the lion, there is no choice, because there's nothing else, only himself. It's like a baby. A baby's not a Baal Bechira. A baby's not a Baal Bechira. The baby has only itself, and whatever its teva is. It's not, since there's nothing outside of itself, there's no need of a baby changing. It's like a baby is thinking, you know, last night I gave my mother a real rough time, you know? It was really bad. 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 4:30, 5 o'clock. The poor lady's got to go to work today, you know? I'm going to give her a day off. There's never a baby in history that ever had such machshavas. Only in movies or something, cartoons. But in real life, the baby is, the mother says, please, sweetheart, please, I'm begging you. And the kid says, I don't care. You don't exist. You just exist to feed me and to take care of me. My teva says right now to cry. When I cry, I don't care. But you're tired, you're not tired. It's hard for you, it's not hard for you. I don't care. There's nothing outside of the baby. The whole baby is only its own mitzvahs. The mother is just like the lion. Meaning that the lion also, whatever in the world is only to take care of me. The baby's existence is only whatever is out there to take care of me. To give me what I need. I'm hungry. Here she is. I'm uncomfortable. Here she is again. And that's it. And many children grow up like that, to adults. As we'll talk about a little bit later. Not to see outside of oneself. But the whole world is only for zich, you know, for himself. So how could you have choice? Of course baby doesn't have choice. Because to have choice means that there's an alternative to who you are. There's an alternative to what you feel. There's an alternative to what you want for yourself. You can make a choice and make a cheshbon. The lion can't do that and the baby can't do that. It just goes according to its teva. So. So people think that you have this shepsali here, this sheep, it's part of the flock. So people think, and again, this is all romanticized in cartoons and in stories, as if the animals in the flock, you know, one for all and all for one, like, you know, we're in this together. And each sheep has a cheshbon of the other one, and they're worried about the other one. And that's bumwises, that's for cartoons. He's worried about himself, and himself means this group, because that's how he remains safe, and that's how he knows he can graze and eat and be protected, and so on and so forth. He's only thinking about himself. Therefore, the lamb doesn't have a cheshbon that, you know, that other one was nice to me yesterday, he brought me a piece of grass. You know, he gave me a piece of grass, so I have to remember to take care of him tomorrow. You know, I'll also be nice to him. You know, such thing. Tevel umaloya, who? The world and all that exists is that sheep. By niftach ha'ilam, that's how the world opened for him. That's how it began. That's by yistayim. That's how he began, and that's how it ends. Just him. Minayim lekarach bechira bedrach macheres. So how could there be a choice to be different? There is nothing else, only himself. Therefore, there are no choices. Ukamayim Chazal, Lama Nikushma Chasida. The Gemara talks about the Chasida, the bird, what's it called?
Stork.
So the Gemara says, Lama Nikushma Chasida. It's a nice name, Chasida. Why is it called Chasida? Shoyis a Chasidus Simchar V'Zera. The Gemara says that it does Chasidus, acts of kindness, for its Chaveyus. No, so that's a, that sounds like it's going against what we're learning. So all the Svarim tell us, the question is, we've spoken about this over the years, that if the Chasida is such a Chasidus, she's so kind and generous, then why is she an Oif Tameh? Then why is this an impure, unclean bird? Why is it an Oif Tameh? So Choshev, a Chasida should be an Oif Tahar. So the Svarim tell us, Afu Pichein, Nechshevus Oif Tameh, Mishum Shematoris Chasadeh Avur Atzma. Because this, the Svarim say that the Gemara is explaining that here you have a bird that looks like it gives to drink to this one and to that one, and it looks like it's really, really nice to put under its wing a little bit to help. It looks like it's nice. So you might think that an animal can have such a thing to make a choice, I want to be better, I want to be nice. Therefore, the Gemara says, Dafka, this bird, it does chasidus with its friends, but the Svarim explained, that's not because of kindness, it's because of the cheshbon that it has for itself. Its nature is such that in that world of where they eat and where they live and where they drink and everything, in that world, it's kedai. It's kedai. Like someone will say, a human being who says, I'm going to donate to, you know, to someone that his friend is being honored because I have a cheshma that if I'll give to his yeshiva, then he'll give to my yeshiva. So is that chasidus? Okay, it's a mitzvah, it's nice to give always, whatever the cheshbon. But chasidus is not. The cheshbon is a cheshbon. Okay, it's for tzedakah. But the cheshbon is, if I do for him, what do they say, one hand washes the other. So that's the chasidus of this animal that's called the chasidus. And the Gemara is saying, and that's the chasidus of the animal kingdom. The chasidus of the animal kingdom is not for the other. It's not with the cheshbon, purely, altruistically, to do for someone else. There's no such thing as cheshbon shel emes. The chesidus is with the cheshbon of what I can get back. That's why it's an eif tameh. Le'avur zolasa. Ka'odam ha'mestadir im ha'sheni l'man atzmai. When a person knows it's kedai to be nice to this person, not because of that person, but for myself. I'm not talking now about what's an oif tahor, right? That's not for now. Im enu chai im hasheni v'havein. Not because that he's living with the other and it's for the tachlis of doing and giving for the other. It's for himself. Page 52. Ram. And here's the difference. Mana lehamin ha'enoishi lahin oruch al ha'olam achai. How could you compare a human being to an animal? Because even a child who begins to think about a friend, about a parent, about, not a baby, but a child, who's thinking about somebody else. And even this little child is thinking about what happened yesterday and what I could do tomorrow. There's a world of choices. And thinking outside of himself. And thinking outside of this moment, thinking of other people and the past and the future. So he sees that there are other things, there are other ways. And the child takes note. In a bad situation, he copies the bad behavior of the worst kid in the class, God forbid. In a good situation, he looks up to his parents, looks up to his rebellion, and so on, and to the nice kids. What is it that, why is it that this one kid chooses that and the other kid chooses the other thing? That they're still working on that. But a child can make choices. Even if he's not thinking, and even if he's not being misbrained in a very subtle way, the child's making choices all the time. Choices outside of himself. Choices that depend on other people and other times, yesterday and tomorrow. Because babies don't do that, but as they grow up, that's what it means to mature. Alkei motzi b'chol rego umatzeh b'precious drachem. Therefore, a human being, every moment of his life, a human being is at the crossroads. Every moment of life is bechira. Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap says at the beginning of Memram, just by human being, the chiddush of human being is that he doesn't have a choice not to be a baal bechira. That's the only thing he can choose. A human being, by definition, is a bechira. And therefore, every moment of his life, there's this mahalach, there's that mahalach, even for a child. They're all different mahalachim for a child. Livcha yamina smal, to choose, the right, to go to the left. Taivara, to try to be good, to try to imitate what's good, to try to imitate what's bad. Schara einish, reward, or the consequences of something if I get caught, punishment. Nimtzei efayish, koach habechira natu ba'adam, this koach of bechira, that's the chiddush of human being. The koach of bechira, that's natu ba'adam. Now we're going to see how all this is going to come back to chachma and bina later in the Maimer. This koach of bechira, that's natu ba'adam, that's planted in the human being, the nedam in balei chayim, it's missing from animals. Yesoide bi'cholus ahistaklus al mechutz la'atzmius. The foundation of this, the essence of this, is the ability that a human being has to see outside of himself. Mechutz la'atzmius, la'anochius, outside of anochi, outside of me. That's the maila, the advantage that human has over Baal Chai. It also makes life much more complicated, more difficult than the animals. Animals have it easy in that respect because they don't have any of choices. And this is how a human being can truly experience his value and his worth. That really is the measure of the human being. How smart he is. We know that that's not something that's something that Sakash broke. It's a gift. There's some that have a head like this, some have a head like that. You can make a little bit better, a little bit. But that's not the Iker way to measure oneself is by the choices that a person makes. That's what a human being is, his choices. Therefore, it's in man's using free choice that he could truly experience the erech, the value of his existence by making choices. That's why when a person chooses, makes that gewaltige choice, even though it hurt, even though it was hard, but there's no other time in his life where he felt as alive. The time where a person feels most alive is when you make the biggest choice and the most difficult choice and the right choice. There's no other time that you feel more alive. And the opposite, God forbid, when the person makes a terrible choice and opts for something which is very, very bad, there's no other time that a person feels like dying as much as then. Afterwards. I mean, at the moment, he's sugar. But afterwards, he feels like dying. Because a human being inherently knows that the measure of his worth and the measure of his being a human being is to make the right choices, to choose right. And therefore, that gives tremendous chiyus. Tremendous chiyus. And the opposite kills a person. Ruins a person. Im omru shat sameach ma'abed es koech atzmiche v'atnu ha'kale, we learn and we understand that if a plant is no longer able to grow, it's no longer able to move, which those are its milas, that it can grow and can move a little bit. If it loses that, nechshav doimim. Then it's no better than a rock. Same thing. If an animal is sick, whatever, and it can't do anything, it can't go anywhere, it can't move anywhere, then it becomes like a plant. It can maybe stay in its place and move a little bit and grow a little bit, but it's finished. It's not an animal anymore. Kach klapei ha'odam. Listen, so it is with a human being. If a human being does not take advantage, if he loses that unique quality that he has, remember, if a plant loses its koach of tzmicha of being a plant, then it becomes nothing. Nothing. If an animal loses its koach of being an animal, it becomes nothing. doesn't become an animal that's not so chosh. It becomes nothing. And what about a human being who throws away the tchuna that makes him human? That quality that makes him human, which is what? Free choice. Lahabit mechutzalai, to see, to look outside of himself. The lyrics says Mitzias Oilam Shalmavad Mitziuso, and to think about the Mitzias of the world outside of himself. Lyrics may alumi evil in the kudas ahivashalai, to see above and beyond that tiny thing of himself. The person loses that. The person loses that. And we haven't yet seen what his ma'ila is over an animal. The fact that he eats, drinks, sleeps, goes to school, plays, whatever it is, we don't know yet that there's a ma'ila over this, over Baal Chai. Some of you within Moshe Shabbos, and I was talking about how the way that we were raised, Hashem, we enjoy being part of a firm community, and we raise our kids in a firm community, and our children are raised without doing everything we can to give them as little free choice as possible. Right? We try. As little free choice as possible. And if you're in a, and if you're in Yerushalayim or in a certain place of Yerushalayim or in Bnei Brak or in Kiryat Sefer or in Beitar Elite, whatever, which is all together from, so then the parents and the teachers are doing everything they can to downsize, to limit the range of Bechir Chavshis. When that works, the result can be a tzaddik who's making beautiful choices of higher madregas of Kedusha, higher levels of holiness. When it doesn't work, that's what I was telling Mr. Shabbos, you could have the most self-centered, shallow, empty shell of a human being. Didn't have to make any choices. Why is he from? That was another one. I quoted Fiddler on the Roof on Shabbos. So there was another one over there. I remember at the beginning. I mean, this is 40 years ago. But at the beginning. So Tavia's tradition, right? Tradition. And he's saying how we wear tzitzis and we do this, we do that, and we don't go against any of our traditions. The father chooses who's going to marry the daughter, right? This is how we do everything. Tradition. And if you ask me, why do we do these things? Why do we keep these traditions? Then he pauses and he says, I don't know. No, he says, I don't know. But it's a tradition. I don't know why, but it's a tradition. So if that's emunah pshuta, if that's not what they're trying to get across. Emunah pshuta. They're trying to get across that it's stupid. That's what they're trying to get across. They were just mindless idiots. Chas v'shalom. But you could produce a lot of mindless idiots if they're raised without any choices. What kind of choice? What's the chachma? What did he make Yanki that choice today? What did he fight against? What was he up against? How did he use his bechira? Again, he can't, because they're madregas of Taiv. I'm not suggesting that we abandon our firm communities and we plop everybody down, you know, in Arkansas someplace, and this place and that place, you know, Albuquerque. No. But there's a price to be paid for the comfort of not having as much bechir. There's a price to be paid. Our parents and our grandparents fought every inch of the way. Fought in their lives. The Jews that came to America in those years, the ones who were born here in the early 1900s, they fought every inch of the way to be Yidden. They're godless as human beings is proportionate to the godless of their choices. But if one's entire choice is whether to eat in Sabra's pizza or Jerusalem pizza, and he doesn't know what to do, because some hold that here the falafel's better, and I don't know, I might end up getting a falafel, but the pizza's better in the other place, and the tchina is a little bit thin in this place, and this is, you know. So what have you produced? What have you done? What have we done? So there's a danger in that as well. It doesn't free parents and grandparents from heartache and worrying over the children. We see this with our eyes. Because there are those who will naturally resent others making their choices. You could have a lot of trouble like that. And some of those are the most chashuv. Because the bechira is pounding inside of them. And they're resentful of being told what to choose. It's inside. There's a big merit against others making my choices. A person who's raised in a different environment makes his own choices as he matures. Obviously, we're not talking about little children. You have parents. As parents, we always have a responsibility to try to guide our children that they should go on the right way. But I'm just talking a little bit about the danger of not having choice, of not having free choice. We look at, in our own community, some of the most beautiful, beautiful kids in the community were the ones that made choices. The ones that made choices. They chose to learn Torah. They chose to be Shem and Torah Mitzvahs. They chose to lead a lifestyle of Kedush and Tahar. Because in doing so, one exercises the mahus of being a human being. The essence of being a human being is to make choices. Which you could still do being raised in a little chatzer in Meir Shalom too. Of course you could still do. There are madregas, madregas, madregas. There's always choices. Always. In every stop in life, everywhere, there are always choices. But it's not so glaring like it is if you're raised in some little town someplace, in the Midwest. It's just so obvious. It's such a big choice. And it's such a tremendous, tremendous temptation. And to fight against that current, and to go against the current, as we did to some degree, wasn't any kind of a major battle, but when we were growing up 40, 50 years ago, there were you had to make a choice. If you wanted to stay and learn, let's say, in Kailo, there were very few people that did it back then. 40 years ago, who stayed learning? So if you made that choice, you had to be a guy that could swim against the current. You were a fighter. You were a chooser. You chose to learn. And if you work hard and you choose something, you learn. But if everybody gets married and everybody goes to learn, then who made a choice? Just the opposite. You're afraid that if you choose not to learn, to go to work, that something's going to happen to you, you're not going to get a nice shiva. So you have the Bati Midrashim that have all over the place guys that didn't choose to be in the Bismedrash. That's not their choice. They feel that they don't have a choice, and they're broken about it. If it was up to them, they would choose something else. Just watch when they come to Yeshiva, and watch when they leave, and watch what they're doing when they're there. It's not a matter of choice. It's a matter of coercion and fear and intimidation by the society that we've created. So if you don't make a choice for something, if you don't choose something, you're less than human. A bal chai. How to raise children within the walls of our communities are making good choices. That's the biggest chacham in the world. And who feel that they have bechira. And whose parents give them just enough slack on the rope, that the kid is a bal bechira. Those are the chachamim. I watch with wonder when I see parents that could do that. With wonder. When I see parents that could do that, it's amazing to me. I admire that. It's very hard. You either give too little, you give too much. You give too little, the kid's not a bal bechira. Give too much, it's also not a bal bechira. It's lost. To give just enough that there should be bechira chavshis. And that the person should have a chshius of being a bal bechira. That's the chokhmah of being a parent. To give just enough bechira. And it doesn't go according to what you like. That's the biggest mistake. But each child, and every child could have a different amount of rope. Each child needs a little different amount of the rope. Because that kid is a different teva. You have to work with that kid. A different amount of rope. The other ones resent it. Too big. You have to have a cheshbon like that too. How to be careful, with the whole oilam. But that's the inyan of being a parent. To give enough rope where the kid feels that he has bechir, but not so much rope that he can go to hang himself. That's the biggest avoid of a parent. And that's what it means to be the mile of human being over Bal Chai. Now the next part, Dalit, is a continuation. It's only for selected audiences. You'll see why in a moment. Not that I've ever hidden from talking about these things in the shul, and certainly we could talk about it in the smaller chabura, but it requires a basic madrega of amunah in the chelik of kol yamal that each Jew has. Because now that we've finished this point, now that we've spoken about the chiluk between a human being and a balchai, so the author now goes to the next chiluk, which is between a Jew and a goy. So it's not for those diehard liberals. I don't think there are too many here. Noi de mashakosav akuzri. But it's pnimius haTorah. This is the Torah. The other stuff, the fluffy stuff that they're selling, that's all chitzanius and it's not pnimius haTorah. We're learning pnimius haTorah. This is from the Zohar Kodesh and the Kisveri. This is the truth. It's the essence of Torah. Noi de mashakosav akuzri sheish. Meinem arba dargis bebriya dormem semeh chai medaber. The Kuzri says that there are four levels in creation. Domem, inanimate things. Sameach, plants. Chai, animals. Medaber, human beings. Ach emes yesh darge chamishis. I think all of you know this, that the Kuzri taught us, Maral and others as well, and all the Mekubalim, that there's a fifth min. The fifth type that exists in the world is Yisrael, a Jew. Yisrael. Lahavin Zeis, to understand, here's all my later on, we'll learn. But Lahavin Zeis in his Bainim, let's think. Derech Moshel, we go back to the tsunami. The Moshel Hashitofen del El, and the Moshel we had from the flood. The Hevdo ben Behemel Adam. The difference between the animal that survived the tsunami and the human being who survived the tsunami. Vihine. Naniach shahaya motzu isham gam Yehudi mamin. Let's say a mazel. There was a yid also over there. So we have an animal, a goy, and Moshe Kapoya, that he made a wrong turn someplace looking for a good time, and he ended up in a mazel. That has a tsunami coming over there. There's a yid, a mammon, a Jew who believes, a believing Jew is over there. Asher bechesed Hashem olav, nois leplate of a shovel nachlosa, he lives over there, he's there. And bechesed Hashem, he survived, and he comes back to take care of his place. He comes back to his home, whatever's left over there, he comes back to fix things up. Gam hu ochel. And he's got himself something to eat. He's sitting there and he's eating. Gam hu mahara amasha me'alam ye'evil ane yuchyusi v'atzmi yusah. Just like, you remember, the guy who survived was thinking beyond that, just himself, otherwise just like the animal puts himself right back the way he left off into the food. The human being thinks about what's going on over here, how did this happen, maybe this could, something could prevent this in the future. Maybe somebody needs some help. Maybe I can go with the emergency workers or something, right? So now we have a yid. A mammon. Besides the animal and the guy, we have a mammon, a Jew, a havdu. So the Jew thinks, me'al me'evil an achiyusai v'atzmiyusa. Also, he thinks beyond himself and his own needs. Be'yos mechuber el habriya klalus. He's connected to all of creation and the whole world around him. He's a human being, therefore he can think. And he has choices to make and decisions to make. Loi rak el chaychay v'karsan, like an animal who only cares about its stomach. That animal's perfectly happy. As a matter of fact, the animal looks around and he doesn't have other animals that used to be there bothering him and coming to nudge him to push him away. He never had it so good. The animal's 100% best it's ever been. Because a lot of his chevra were killed. Let's say, and he's by himself, and he's grazing, he has this whole thing to himself. It's fantastic. The human being, of course, is not happy. Even though he has what to eat, But he's thinking about what he lost and what's going to be. And then we have a Yid. Of course, by this time, the Yid is opening up a mall or a supermarket or something, right? But we have a Yid over there. And like the human being, like the guy, he's not just thinking about his feeding himself. Yeah, wife and children. Okay? Everything could be gone, finished. Panasa, whatever it is, friends. Let's try to see now. What's the difference between a Yid, a Ma'amin, who's sitting there after the tsunami, and a guy who's sitting after the tsunami? And you have to understand, it doesn't make a difference how chosh of a guy it is. And even if that guy is gonna start a one-man rescue operation, and the Yid is just sitting there fretting and krechzing. We're talking about the pnimius. And those who learn Tanya, learn Maral, this is not news. Have a Nabid, ma otzum, how vast is the difference than anasib machshavte, what's going on in the mind of a Jew, a ma'amin, l'ven machshavas ha-goy, and in the mind of a goy. They will understand. Remember, a human being is a boicha, a bal bechir. Rabbi Yehuda Levi reveals to us from Pnimius HaTaira, which we understand is the Emes Lamita of Taira, that a Yid is a different min than a guy. That means that there's a mile of a Jew over a guy. Not over this Jew over that guy. There's a be'etzim a mile of a Jew over a non-Jew. The etzim. Im yaymu chayzim umumchim sheshitofen godlmes vachish machmes tenuois gami shaman b'misiloisam. If the forecasters and the experts are telling the people that such a tsunami can only happen because of certain very, very rare, very, very rare occurrences in the world, how wind, chreis, whatever brings these things, I don't know. It's very, very, very rare. Shili b'kochav ploini u'mazal ploini, because of how it was with the sun, it was once every 1,000 years like this, and the moon is like this every 1,000 years. And it could only happen in this part of the world, such a ma'isa. Hamisrachish ach virach achas el of Sodom, 1,000 years could happen such a thing. And they take out all the statistics and they say, when was the last time you had one over here? They said, it hasn't been over here. They were able to know somehow. There hasn't been anything going on like that over here for the last 742 years. Okay. They have in ancient books that there was a record of there having some kind of a thing like that, a flood like that. Since then, not. That means that things are looking better than they were yesterday, yeah? So there's cause for optimism. After all, we just got the 742-year patch. Hagoy shemezos, a guy hears this. V'nochadaitai. It's able to put him at ease. I mean, if they're big experts, and it's a unanimous consensus with all the experts, it's okay. Not that there's machloikas, yesh v'yesh. No, everybody's masking. I know that right now in Japan, I mean, I didn't read anything, but I just heard on the news. I know that they're scared. They're still scared. I don't know if that's because of experts or stuff. The people in the villages, there was a whole village that was wiped out over there. Something. It's a pachad. So, let's say everybody says, all the experts say, Rabbi say, it was, we got a big smack, a big patch, but that's it. So the guy is able to, even though he has suffered, and he's still suffering, but at least as far as that's concerned, he's not expected to wake up tomorrow morning to see a 5,000-foot wave coming in. Hu ubnei mishpachtoi, whatever he has of his family is left. Muftochem kol yimei chayim, the scientists, the professors promised them, you could stay here, you're safe. You know, there's certain places, like in America, where they have, I don't know why people move to these places, and I always wondered that. But there are places that they have, like every 2-3 years, a tornado or a hurricane. It's not, I guess it's cheap to live over there. But every couple of years, you see these people like floating down a river or something in the newspaper. There was a picture in the Hamadir yesterday, people walking like this, or Shabbos Hamadir, walking in water up to here, like this. So, but that happened, it said, last year. So, but when you have a place where everybody is masking, all the big professors and all the experts say, finished. It went away. The Indian went away. There's no more tsunamis over here. There's no frightening, horrible, natural disaster that could be expected. After everything they went through, the kolapachas, at least, muftachas lehem menucha v'shalva, at least, we have some menucha. I mean, we have other problems, but not a tsunami. That's not going to happen over here. Nimtzeifoi comes out. Shehehu rehagoy al matzav ha'olam. And it makes no difference what this guy says, that guy says. The thoughts that a guy has over the matzav of the world. The root of the tragedies that he's lived through and his thoughts regarding the future. At the end of the day, always come back to himself. Always. That's what it says in the first Bracket Tanya. Cheselum Chatas always comes back to me. Always. Klima. Choshev al Atzmo. This does not mean that he's not helping people, or he's not writing articles and warning people and putting up signs and trying to swim out there and to do things. And even maybe if it means in the end that he sacrificed his life and he drowned trying to help people, that can still be. But then there's another cheshbon. Whatever that cheshbon is, it being a hero or of an Olam Ha'emes, whatever that is. Klamer, choshev al atzmai. Ach b'merchovim gedolim yoseh. A human being, meaning a guy, has much more expansive, grander, bigger, broader thoughts, obviously, than an animal. Lo b'tzimtzum k'machshavas behema, hamakir rakis atzma, mitkod kodav atznov. Like, not like an animal, all the animal knows is itself, from its head to its tail. That's all the animal knows. No, a human being has a big, he has a big world around him, and friends and acquaintances and his country. He's proud of his country. He's proud of his race. He's proud of his religion, his people, and so on. And he'll do. If he's a good guy, he'll do. He'll be out there to help. Even on page 53, even though a guy's mind can stretch out great distances, l'kol yoishvei aretz, to the entire world, to think about the whole world, and to fight for some cause, for the whole world. But it all comes back, it's the same goal, the same purpose. Hagonas atzmai. Protecting and defending oneself, and one's interests. To see to it that such a tragedy can never happen again. Even a person like Bilam, who had nevuah, whatever that was, his nevuah, but he had such a koyach of nevuahs. He was as far as who he was as a person was lower than his animal. His donkey gave him musa. His behemoth gave him musa. V'yitach, Hashem's pihasim gave him musa, his animal. Ki tachlis kol chaz yanaisav hoylatz miyusa. Because all of his nevius, all of his predictions and all of his prophecies, it was all about himself. Meaning, and grandizing himself to Balak. Making himself into the big navi for the umas ha'olam. It was all about him. And that his predictions should be true. That's what it was all about him. Like the kid was disappointed when he sees the guy in the ball team, and he knows the pennant or something, and he's saying that, you know, we're gonna play our hearts and soul, we're gonna play our hearts out for the team, for our team, for whatever it is, the, you know, the Yankees or the Dodgers, we're going to play mamish. And then the kid's all upset because 3 weeks after the end of the season, the guy took another $500,000 to play for a different team. And it could be even the other team from the pennant, meaning the opponent. What happened to his soul? Soul got $500,000. That's all. Zer shomu shebehem avagoy shneim chelke dargas chai. Baal chai hu dargat achtoina bo vahagoy dargal yon. There are two madregas. Of course, the madrega of a baal chai is chai. And the madrega of a goy is an odom. But they're both madregas in the world of chai. This is a chai. This is an odom. Achrei kich lois hakol choshev yoyser. There's no question that a human being is infinitely more choshev than an animal. A guy sees the world and can make choices, and can make good choices to help the world and to do good things. He can look outside of him, his own 4 feet. But at the end, the inner point of his thoughts, of his, even though he might not be cognizant of this, but the inner point of himself comes back to the self. Comes back to the self. Valkain Aidena Neshav Chai. In that regard, he's still a Chai. Ein lo mailos medaber Yisrael. He doesn't have a mail of a Yisrael. Lach shoy val masha chutzalai. We're Yid, because he has within him a neshama. Achelok elokom imal mamish, elokus. A Yid is able. He has the choice. Doesn't mean he's doing that. Could be he's thinking only, God forbid, of himself. But he has the choice. Lach shoy val masha chutzalai. He's able to think about something that's totally outside of him. In a koshul atzma klal uklal. There's no connection to himself, klal uklal, at all. Hashem Yisboch created the world, didn't need the world. He created the world. We don't understand. That's the talk of why the tachlis. Hashem created the world. He doesn't need the world. A yid is able to create and to do and to give without needing anything from himself. It's a chelak l'kami mal mamish. Reima shekosev harashav l'lubavitch. This is a very strong line. The Rashab said he heard Rishamati Shalosa Lovai. I mean, we have to understand this also, not it has to be understood in Panemius. I don't know exactly what it means. But he said, Shamati he heard, Shalosa Lovai that in the future. Yetsir Gufai Sa'umai Sa'ilam Kibahimas. That the Goyim are going to look like animals. Right now, they have the appearance of human beings. Hilmana Bechira, they said they should be able to make choices as human beings. Lamana Bechira, Bechira means for us maybe also that we should make a Bechira between wanting to be Jews and, God forbid, not wanting to be Jews. So it looks to us like you know, you see somebody that's very, very nice, like you have a girl, how many times I've heard this, she says, I've dated every Jewish boy in the town and it's terrible. So I met this wonderful fellow. Okay, he's not Jewish, but he's so wonderful, he's so kind, he's so good. It's a big bechira. It's a big choice to make. She says the boys that she met, the Jewish boys, not nice. Selfish, self-centered, greedy. I met a guy, sweetheart, nicest guy in the world. It's bechira. Rishab says such a thing. The tefillah he made shachris umoysa adam and abayim ayin ki hakol hove levad neshama tahira. And where does this come from? We say every morning in davening. What's the umoysa adam and abayim ayin? Really, what's the advantage that the human being has over an animal? Not really anything. Ki hakol hove everything is narishkeit. Levad neshama tahira. Levad neshama tahira. What truly distinguishes the pnimius between the tzuras ha'adam, the etzem and adam. Atam kriyim adam, the Gemara says, on a Jew, the etzim of a human being or of an animal is one thing, the neshama. God doesn't have a neshama. Doesn't have. Ki rak ha-yehudi bal ha-neshama tahara. Only a yid has a neshama tahara. Therefore, since he comes from that mitzias of everything, he's able to think, and he's able to give and to do. Even if it's not negated to him at all. Even if it doesn't come back to Toivas Atzma, to what is in it for him. Therefore, the Jew, after the tsunami, is thinking about other things, not just what he's eating. He's not just thinking about what the forecasters are predicting. He's not just thinking about the scientists paskin, that there's no more tsunamis over here, everything's okay. Think, what is the Bari Olam? Who's Masaviv Kalasibas, the Bari Olam? What is he saying? The one who brought this about, who's Masaviv Kalasibas, Yedea ki oisos and mazolos and mesilos kichavim kelim heim viad yotzim anhigim. He knows that what they're talking about, the scientists, all the stars, the constellations, the sun, the moon, the kelim, they're only things that toys in Hashem's hands. Hashem can bring the sun closer, Hashem can move it away. Hashem can bring this closer, he can move it away. He doesn't depend on the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the scientists. He's thinking one thing, as he's sitting there the day after the tsunami. Molei Olam, the Koyach and the Gevurah of Hashem Omasek, is Molei Olam. La'arit Sonyas Baruch, lefashet akmum yishebelev, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing something to straighten out the crookedness of our hearts, to bring us, like it says about thunder in the Gemara, to bring us to think about the Tachlis, and to remember who we are, and what we're supposed to be doing, and so on and so forth. And what I could do, shemekayim nechachi enu ma'inim haniski, that this world is not my permanent place. And just because the scientists say, don't worry, you can live here, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and there's not going to be any more tsunami, that's not the point. This is not my home. He's looking and he sees the destruction after the tsunami. How we have to work on becoming more connected to Hashem, and sanctifying Hashem's name, and having your Shemayim, if he's zoichav, to bring it to the whole world, to bring the Shem Hashem to the whole world. U'ma'amina b'chokatz ve'tevel. Asher ischad shul ha'yidiyah shahakol b'yod yizborach, because Hashem just gave us a big, big reminder that everything is Him. Everything is God. That's all there is. Hamabit l'aretz v'tirad. That God who, when He looks at the earth begins to tremble. Ve'en oid miftach milvadai. I have nowhere to hide. Even though the scientists say you don't have to hide. I have nowhere to hide. Only in Hashem. I have nowhere to hide, not from the tsunami. From what I was watching on the computer last night. From the picture that I looked at in the magazine. From the money that wasn't my money that I was getting interested in. I have nowhere to hide. Nowhere. It's only the Bari Olam. Everything's a Kadosh Baruch. All right, we'll continue.